The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus, the Reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open mind conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and in today's episode, we dive into the paranormal side of things and even some other high strangeness concepts with one of the awesome people who I had met who popped into the Discord. So I always like to try to communicate with people from the community and get them on the show. So I figured this would be a fun one because it's one of the first ones that I've gotten to do with somebody from the Discord community. And it was a really fun episode to record. So I definitely think that you guys will definitely enjoy it if you guys dig the paranormal aspect of the show. But before we get into that episode, today's episode, of course, got some news and updates, and then, of course, got to run through the front of house. The only news slash update I really got that I forgot to do in the beginning of the last episode, so I want to make sure I hit it first, is I will be vending at Small Town Monster Fest 2, which will be June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio, at the Doubletree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free. Everybody else, unfortunately, got to get some tickets. So if you guys want to pick up some tickets, the link is available down in the show description. Make it quick and easy for you guys. It's towards the top. I will be there, so will Oren and Jenny, if you guys remember her from the earlier episodes of Bizarre Encounters. So the full team will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you guys can hang out with us all together. And if any of you guys are planning on coming out there, let me know that you're planning on coming out. And you know, if I see you, I can point to you, talk to you a little bit, because I love being able to talk to you guys out there. So it's a great opportunity to do that and get a new pocket of listeners, of course. And hopping into the front of house stuff, don't forget to go and follow Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook. And for video content, you guys can follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if you guys want to join the discussion with some of the awesome people like today's guest on the Discord, you guys can always become members of the Open Minds Media Discord. And if anybody has an encounter to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter if it's paranormal, cryptid related, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, any of that kind of weird stuff, weird anomalies, missing time, any of that, I want to hear about your guys' encounters, and you guys can report those to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com. And if you guys want to send them typed out, I can read them on the show. If you guys want to send it with you guys recording yourselves talking about your encounters, that'd be absolutely awesome too, because I want to be able to compile some of those into a compilation listener episode at some point. Or, you know, if you guys just simply want to have somebody to talk to about it and you guys don't want the story to be told to anybody else, that's totally okay too. I would absolutely still love to hear about it. And if you guys are somewhat close to me, I might be able to might even be able to come out and investigate it myself. So yeah, definitely let me know about those encounters at OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com. And if you guys aren't already checking out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, highly recommend that you do. It's a little bit different than the format of this show, as far as this one's mainly interview-based, where that one is mostly Oren, my awesome co-host, and my deep dives. We do have some guests on, of course, in the mix, but for the most part, it's us diving into a bunch of different topics. So if you guys kind of want to hear a podcast about somewhat of the same topics, but done in a totally different format, definitely go check out Bizarre Encounters. And off of that, we also have a sideshow called Bizarre Inquiries, where we will take in your guys' listener questions and let our minds wander, as we say, into whatever frame of conversation we happen to get into. So we're always taking in listener questions for that, so you guys can always submit your inquiries for Bizarre Inquiries. through social media, any other way that you guys tend to get up with me. And of course, if we use your question, which we definitely will, I'm sure at some point, as long as it's not just, you know, something that's just meant to troll us. Even if you guys aren't a Patreon member, I will make sure that you guys get a copy of that episode so that you guys can listen to it, of course. And speaking of the Patreon, great ways to support the show. Number one being the Patreon. Over there, I recently updated the tiers yet again, added some more new benefits, made it so some of the lower tiers get some added benefits. So definitely go and check it out, see if it's something that you guys might be interested in. I'm still, like I've been saying for a while, trying to fine-tune the Patreon down to exactly what you guys want. So I'm going to keep kind of switching it around until I find something that all of you guys are happy with. And I now offer a 7-day free trial for the $3 tier and the $5 tier. So definitely worth going and checking out and seeing if it's something that you guys might be interested in. Some of the perks that you still get, of course, over there are the exclusive promo codes for the OMM merch store, depending on which tier you pick, which leads me to the next idea that the other great way of supporting the show is through the OMM merch store. Over there, you can get stuff for Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Encounters, and a bunch of the other different designs I've worked on that are non-podcast related, you know, dealing with all of these topics, of course, but not, you know, saying the podcast logo across the top. And till the end of April, if you guys want to, you guys can use code CRYPTID10 for 10% off your order. And it all goes back towards the show. Greatly, greatly appreciate you guys going and getting those. And if you guys do wear some of the shirts, you guys end up scooping one for yourself. If you guys don't mind sending me a picture of you guys wearing it, I would absolutely love to post it on the page and give you guys a big shout out, of course, for supporting the show. And if anybody's interested in podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. Whether you're a new podcaster just looking to get started, or you're somebody who's been doing it for a while and you want to try to make your job a little bit easier, hit me up and I can give you a quote on some podcast production services. And of course, before we hop into this fantastic show today, we got to run through the amazing sponsor slash friends in the community. So if you guys haven't already checked out I Know Squatch, definitely recommend going and checking them out for all of your Squatchy gear needs. And for all of your other cryptid-related endeavors, you guys can go and check out Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And for all of my friends out there that have beards, they're into the natural body products, you guys can always go and check out Snarly Yao if you guys want to check out his fantastic line of stuff, from beard balms to beard oils to body wash to beard soap. It has a fantastic smoky cedar smell with a hint of mint. I love it. I use it every single day for the beard. And not only does he do that, but he also puts on some fantastic events near the West Virginia area. So if you guys are looking for something to do and you guys are somewhat near West Virginia, Dave slash Snarly Gal puts on a lot of family friendly events, so you can always look and see what he's got going on. Most of the time they are free events, so highly recommend going and checking him out. He accumulates an awesome group of people around him, so I guarantee you guys are gonna have fun at those events. And if you guys are able to make it out to the Cryptid Halloween event, I will be vending, speaking, and emceeing that event, so hopefully you guys can at least make it out to that one. And moving to the affiliate links, if you guys haven't already checked out the newest sponsor of the show, Oregonite, definitely recommend that you do for all of his fantastic pieces that he creates. And if anybody wants to use the affiliate link, I would greatly appreciate it. And if you guys want to get 10% off your order, you guys can use code OMM at checkout. And to all my paranormal investigators out there, if you guys haven't checked out the Chattergeist, highly recommend that you do. It's my favorite paranormal investigating device. Use it every single time I go out. And I recently had him on Bizarre Encounters recently, so if you guys want to check that out, hear a little bit more about it, you guys can definitely do that. But Barry over there in Dimension Devices, he's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions. And if you guys decide that you guys want to scoop one, and I know he has a lot of new awesome add-ons that he's are going to go with the original device, of course, you guys can always use the affiliate link, and it would all goes back towards the show, and I greatly appreciate you guys for doing so. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Colleen O'Hare and Kelly, aka Dirty Birdie, from Pocatello Paranormal. How's it going today, guys?
It's going great.
How are you?
Not doing too bad. It's a Sunday. I was cleaning up the house and stuff, so I'm pretty content as far as having the house clean, so I feel like I can actually sit back and relax and do a show. But how about you guys? Nice. How was your guys' weekend?
It was pretty decent.
Yeah, pretty good so far.
Well, that's always good to hear, of course. And I guess kind of just make it so we can start kind of hopping into the nitty gritty, because I know you guys are a little bit time pressed today. For anybody that may not be familiar with who you guys are, what you do, or what Pocatello Paranormal is, I want you to let them know a little bit about your guys' background and a little bit about your guys' investigation group.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. We been around for a while, I guess. I think I started this team in 2010 when I moved here. Been all over the country doing paranormal stuff. But I came here in 2010, started this team, and we've been like busy ever since. So to the point where I have to maybe take one out of every 10 cases that come our way, because it's just, it's too busy. Weird. But very active area paranormally.
Say, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. I mean, you have like the back and forth where it's either people aren't getting enough cases or they're getting too many cases. But personally, I feel like I'd rather have too many than not enough, because at least then you can kind of pick and choose, do the fun ones, and you guys don't have to run out of stuff to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird here. Once you start digging, and get the weirder it gets, for sure.
Yeah. And we have a lot going on here, like geologically. Kelly and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. We have the Yellowstone's not far from us. We have the old volcanoes. So we have basalt flows. We have three rivers that come right in here. We have just a lot of, we have an Indian reservation. We've got a lot of stuff that history.
The old railroad.
So it just kind of brings together a lot of different avenues that can be kind of conduits for that paranormal.
Yeah.
So we get a lot here.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I call it the paranormal Faraday cage. It keeps everything in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, paranormal is kind of a broad term, depending on who you ask. Some people kind of pertain it to just like ghostly spirits, apparitions, things like that. And then other people kind of expand it to like cryptids, UFOs, any other kind of weird encounters out from the woods or, you know, within like their area. As far as your guys' team goes, do you guys kind of stick to just like the paranormal being like the spirit side of things, or do you guys kind of dive into some of the other stuff too?
Anything and everything that we want to go after, we'll go after. So we have, we do have Bigfoot sightings around here. We have a lot, like I said, we're not that far from Yellowstone. So there's a lot of wilderness when you get right out of town. So you've got a lot of different stuff here. A lot of UFO sightings here. I've had my share. Where I lived in the forest, I was the last house for a long ways. And I lived in a Forest Service cabin. I saw the most bizarre stuff out there. And I would chase it. I'd get in my Jeep and start chasing it and try to figure out where. It's just kind of an amazing little hotspot area. It's pretty fun. I like living here.
Yeah, you don't have to drive far to find the woods either. I mean, Scout Mountain's what, 45 minutes away at most?
Scout?
Yeah.
Scout is right here. It's like 2 miles from us.
That's what
right
I mean.
Here.
I can just jump in my car and drive for 30 minutes and I'm out in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, truly.
Was what's kind of started for you guys just like the stories being in your guys' area, or did you guys have your own personal experience that really like led you down the path? Because I know you're just talking about your UFO experience, but was that like after you were already investigating this stuff, or what started it for you guys?
My mom did this, and she was also a detective, and she was a psychic medium. And so she used her psychic medium abilities when she was a cop. And then she did paranormal investigations before anybody knew what paranormal investigations were. She was helping people that would find her and say, I've got all this stuff going on. And she'd go into their houses just like we do right now and either debunk them or help them with their issues. But as a psychic medium, she did a lot of readings. She actually worked at Haunted Castle in Hollywood. She did all kinds of stuff. So it was just kind of, I was just in the field with her since I was a kid being drug along on all this stuff. And so I've always been involved.
So I got into it. Well, I've had my own paranormal experiences. And then I was talking with another podcaster from Counter Cult podcast, and there was an event going on in the city, and he's like, we should go check it out. So we went and checked it out, and I met her, and she's like, hey, hit me up later on, and then we'll see if we mesh. And we meshed and it just went from there. But I've had a number of weird experiences just in this area by itself.
And then we teach that we collectively, like the team, we teach a course at ISU, the college. What do you call it? Like the College of Technology?
It's in the College of Technology.
Yeah. So we do a class on investigation techniques and the paranormal there. And so we also do like the tail end of each class session, we do a paranormal investigation on campus somewhere. So it's been a lot of fun. It's great to share the knowledge too.
So I know with some of like the little bit smaller towns, you'll actually have some of the police department that actually do believe in the paranormal. Just out of curiosity, in your guys' town, have you guys had the opportunity to be able to like work a case with like your local law enforcement or anything like that may believe in this kind of stuff?
Pocatello, no, but our next close town to us, Soda Springs, which it's to the east of us, about 40 minutes to the east of us. I have worked the Enders Hotel with the police chief several times. And the police chief goes into the Enders Hotel a lot, even on his own or with the mayor, and they sit there and just it's just a super active hotel. But yeah, I've worked cases with him and that's been a lot of fun. This community is a little it's a very religious based community. So yeah, it's kind of hard for people to get this out in the open. The people that find us usually don't come in marked cars, and you know what I mean? They believe in it, but they don't want their neighbors to know they believe in it. Or
yeah, it's one of those cities where if you tell the wrong person, you could be in a little bit of trouble. And as in, oh, you're running a heavy equipment, and you think you saw a ghost. Okay, you're crazy. You lost your job. Bye.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it can happen like that. So,
yeah. Oh, no. Luckily, a few of the people I worked with, and they're like, yeah, we've seen weird stuff too. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm not the only one.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
At least it seems like now versus like even 10, 20 years ago, like people are a little bit more open with this kind of stuff. So, I mean, even within like your guys' town, who knows where it might be in another 10 years where people maybe will start actually kind of believing in this stuff more so. And I mean, even coming from like a religious-based community, I mean, it seems like the religious side of things is getting more in touch with their spiritual aspect of things, and they're starting to understand that there are other things that are unexplainable that are starting to be around us rather than just kind of staying in the, you know, the blinder view of like their religion. So, I mean, even from their religion, it might end up branching out in the next few years where they start actually kind of diving into some of this stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm glad that things are loosening up, you know, all over the place. And it shows like, honestly, like ghost hunters and stuff like that. It helps. It really does. Now, whether or not things are acted, I don't know, on those shows. Are they scripted? I have no idea. I'm not on those shows. I couldn't tell you. But the one thing it does do is allow people to talk about it now in a more open venue where before not discussed.
I mean, even just like conventions and everything, like those things have expanded like crazy the past few years. So, I mean, even with that, where each little small town is having little conventions that are happening, it's still kind of introducing more people to these different types of concepts and a little bit more, they'll be a little bit more open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even with a small little one of those, there's quite a few people that show up and come check it out and ask questions and see what it's about.
Our university has Dr. Meldrum, who's the Bigfoot expert, right? So he's he's right here in Pocatello. So, and he's been on a lot of different shows. So it does open the door for the rest of us at least to have a foothold with people. Yeah, it's kind of nice.
I talk to him every once in a while.
What was that? Sorry.
I talk to him every once in a while and see what's going on.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he would live that, or he was working that close to you guys.
Man, yep. He works in the building right across from me, so.
Yeah.
And I was going to, of course, ask, I wanted to kind of dive into some of your guys' cases, of course. What are your guys' personal favorite cases, whether you guys worked them separate from each other or together? Like, what were some of your favorite cases you worked on?
Annie's Boutique was really, really active and really, really interesting. So, geez, which one do we want to do? The boy that didn't want to share his toy dog? Oh,
yeah, so Annie's was... So we have every town has this old town, right? And Annie's is on First Street, which is parallels the railroad. And First Street is also where they used to do all the public hangings in Pocatello, pretty much really close within a block of this building. So a lot of history in this little area. And we went in and I think, what is that? Four stories totally? Three stories plus the basement, and three
main
stories,
floor, and then two more floors.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a total of four. And there was a little boy. There was toys up on the third floor, and a little boy who he apparently didn't want to share his toy, and he has a little toy that he moves all around the building. So we had him. He came through pretty front and center. We still haven't put all the evidence together on that one, but we had quite an active night that night. I think the building was one of those buildings that I'm sure. Well, I don't know, Shane, have you ever gone into a building where the activity is so heavy it feels thick when you're walking?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I am 7 years ago, I was paralyzed from the neck down. And so I'm walking now, but every step's an effort. And I got into that building that night and it was all I could do to move. I just felt like I was back in a wheelchair again. And it was just an incredible effort for me to move through that building. It just felt like I was walking through water the whole time. And it was exhausting for me. And I don't know about the rest of the team, but by like 10:30, I was shut down. I'm like, I physically can't keep going on.
I think I left an hour before you guys did. And the next day I was completely drained. I'm like, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah.
I think we checked in with each other and you're like, I'm tired. I'm like, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody on that investigation was pretty wiped out afterwards. I think I mentioned, the Enders Hotel, which is in Soda Springs, a really well-known hotspot of activity out here. And I've actually put contractors up in that hotel when it was a functioning hotel. It's beautifully restored, beautiful hotel. And I've had contractors call me the next day and say, I'm never staying there again. We left in the middle of the night and slept in the truck. So it's a crazy haunted building. In a tiny little postage stamp town, but really haunted building. And a lot of things go down in that hotel. There's a dark entity in there. Then I have an idea of who this person is, or at least what he's done. And so I asked the police chief to come in one night and interrogate him like he was sitting in front of him. And we ended up chasing him all over the hotel that night. And the police chief went after him. And that's when I asked the police chief, I said, I'm pretty sure that this guy was more than likely drugged to death in front of the hotel, by the community for doing what he did. And I think his body was probably found right behind the hotel. And he said, how'd you know about that? They found the skeleton behind the hotel. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Weren't they doing renovations and they wanted to put a parking lot behind the hotel and when they were digging, they found him?
Something like that. Yeah, it was interesting. They found the skeleton back there. So
yeah, I remember seeing it in the newspaper.
Yeah. So I had no idea that had happened or they found him, but Yeah. So this bad guy still likes to hang out in the hotel, and he does some pretty rotten things.
Just out of curiosity, when you guys investigate, I guess kind of people do it two different ways, where either one, they like to be able to look up like the full backstory of everything before they actually go to the building to investigate. And then the other side, they like going in and almost like unraveling the story themselves through like using their own equipment, so that they're not necessarily biased or thinking right. that this is this one person from actually hearing ghost stories. They'd rather just kind of go in blind and figure it out themselves. What's kind of your guys' way of investigating personally?
I like to go in blind.
Yeah, we definitely go in blind. Since I usually field most of the calls, I might have more of the information, but I won't tell the team.
Same thing to try not to add to like bias where people assume that this is this or this is this or there's a man here when you guys can kind of get a feel for yourself.
Yeah, I want the team to find what they can find. We have a whole lot of different abilities on the team, and so I want them to have their own experience. So whoever sets up the investigation on our team, and it's not always just me, but they're the ones that hold all the cards of what the client has told us. For the Indra's Hotel, we didn't really have any information other than some people in the community who have worked in there, like they've worked in the restaurant when the restaurant was busy, and they'd said they'd have experiences in the basement, and they would tell us these little stories here and there, but we really didn't have a lot of information. There was a story written about a gentleman who was killed by the police in the hotel because he went nuts in the hotel. That was public knowledge. But I didn't even know about that until after our first investigation, when the mayor had asked us to come in. And then he gave us this book to read on the hotel, and it had the story of Mr. Pape, I believe his name was William Pape, who kind of lost his mind in the hotel, and he ended up having to be shot by the police and killed on the second floor. And so that was interesting, but in my mind, being in the hotel, that he was not the dark presence. He was affected by what was in the hotel, but he wasn't the person who's causing all of these problems in the hotel today. He was affected by it. So it was pretty interesting after several, I think we've been there like five times, putting all these pieces together and then going, oh, okay, now I can kind of figure out the story here and what happened. In working with the chief of police, we never did discover the name of the person, and it's pretty easy. The train track is right there, right next to the hotel. So it would have been pretty easy for someone to, especially a really bad guy, to jump on the train, do a lot of naughty things in a town, and then jump on the train and leave, right? And go to another town and do a lot of naughty things and jump on the train and eat. Well, we think that this person who, this entity now, this dark presence in the hotel, is somebody who liked to hurt little kids. And he was ultimately ended his life there in Soda Springs, we believe.
So kind of out of curiosity, kind of playing off of that story, because I got a couple questions I want to kind of ask about that one. What's kind of like your guys' understanding of the paranormal? Like, do you guys kind of look at it from like a biblical view? Do you look at it from like, from just like a, I guess, different dimension, different reality, the purgatory aspect of it? Like what's kind of your guys' understanding and how you rationalize and try to understand the paranormal?
Different dimension, different reality. I mean, yeah, we can communicate back and forth with them sometimes, right? And they can interact with us. So I think it's a different dimension, different reality. To me, anyway.
Yeah, I certainly don't take a biblical view. In speaking and interacting with the dead the way that I do, it's just like they've changed shape. They're no longer a physical manifestation, but they're still here. My dad was in the house earlier. But this is our fourth podcast today, so my friends over podcasting, they saw him standing in the kitchen. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. Everybody has a different view, I guess, but I just think that we're just in a different state of reality. We're just no longer physical.
So you guys kind of have somewhat of the same kind of view and understanding that I have on it. Reason I ask, like, kind of based off that last encounter story that you were talking about, when you have something that ends up becoming just like this strong, really dark, heavy presence, I know a lot of people like to like just slap the demon label on it, but I don't necessarily think that's the case besides in a few very, very slim pick chances and encounters. When it comes to things like this, I always try to like understand how they seem to become so strong based on like the dark things they've done in their life. And I kind of like theorize myself maybe that when you do enough evil in your life and you want to choose to stay back, it almost creates like this negative energy area where you end up becoming stronger through like negative energy, where maybe if you were like on the positive energy side, of course, you wouldn't necessarily be in that predicament. You probably would have went off to whatever you believe the other side of paradise is. But if you're something that wants to stay here and you harvest all of this dark energy, I kind of wonder if like you get stronger one through being an evil person through your life and you just come out on the other side being stronger, or maybe it's a matter of when something's here long enough, it figures out how to fully manifest and use these abilities and then it can become something stronger. Or on the other option, there's just these other dark being entities that were never necessarily human. They're not necessarily demons either, but they're just something that's here that we don't quite understand. And the reason why they seem so overpowered for being a spirit is because they're not really a spirit. They're something that's never had a physical body. So it just has always learned how to manipulate the energies around it because it's never been physical.
Right. Exactly. I have very similar beliefs in that, Shane, that I'll tell you that, you know, I think if you're an asshole in life, sorry if I can say that on your podcast.
No, you're good.
Okay. If you are in life, you're going to be that in death. And I think that negative energy is almost a vortex of it. It creates negative energy and it feeds on itself and it just becomes this like black hole of nastiness. Right. But, I don't think necessarily if you're positive, that means you go to the light, because my dad was an incredibly funny man, great man. And he's in here all the time messing with me and playing pranks on me. And I could hear him laugh and he's a jokester.
I guess that might be strength on the positive side, that they are able to move stuff around, but it's not through a negative or a scary emotion, but rather they're the ones that people would call like the guardian angels almost, because they're positive energy and they're able to do good things with that positive energy staying here.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the guy who was the Pink Panther cartoonist, right? He was just a funny guy. He was just brilliant at what he did. But we have run into, and especially tied to the reservation, but we've run into several non-human entities. They've never been human. And on that level of communication that we get with them, which is pretty superficial because they don't really want to communicate. But when they have communicated with us, we have, you know, I've asked them like, how old are you? And it's like perplexing to them. They don't understand it. It's like, their comeback has always been, we've always been. It's like, they've always been here. They're part of the natural world or the universe or something. There's always been. And it's really interesting. We've run across them on multiple investigations here, particularly when we have a Native American household that we're dealing with. And
I was
going
to mention that
with
the cemeteries that you were saying, the whole like idea of elementals is something I've dug into more than enough times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really interesting. It just popped in my mind that these dark forces that can feed off negative influences, do you think that they could influence the people around them? And
absolutely.
Then feed off the chaos off that. And then once that's done, or unfortunately, they pass away or something like that from doing bad things, they just move on to the next family.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So on these, I don't know if I would call these elementals, though. My elementals in my mind are something completely different. These things are just, I don't know, maybe that's what they are. I've never tried to categorize them into a box, you know, like what they are.
See, I mean, a lot of people have different ideas that they might be particular to an element, but I've also kind of had the understanding that they could also be particular to an area, and they're just elemental because there's some type of like land spirit that has to just do with the area rather than like a particular element.
Exactly. That's it. Land spirit. So that's what I was wrestling with. It's kind of like they're tied to this locale, and it's not just this reservation, because the reservation is just an imaginary line we gave them, right, to the Native Americans, but it's almost tribal out here with the indigenous people. Like it's something there that's either guarding them or I don't know, but that land spirit is definitely part of that.
I was going to say, too, I've often wondered if, you know, when they purposely will pick a spot to bury their dead, when they have, like, the Native American burial grounds, if they possibly pick those places because there is something there that will protect their ancestry, or if it's because they leave some type of, like, curse or some type of, like, blessing over the land that protects them. Like, but more often than not, I kind of gear towards the idea that there's already something with that land, with that area, and it's more so that it chooses to protect that ancestry in turn because maybe they did good for the land or they took good care of that land or elemental spirit that was in the area and they had some kind of treaty where it was like, we'll mutually benefit each other.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
We were just talking about that this afternoon. We were talking about your intentions, right? Like, because we've run across these things several times, and it's almost like they knew our intentions coming into the house was about protection and help of to the family, and not against whatever this entity is, but more like, let's try to come in and explain what's happening and maybe help try to protect this family from whatever's going on. In one situation, the family, the first time we ran across these things, there was actually three things in this house that were not human. And these families, it was the only case I've ever seen in my life of pyrokinesis, where when you drove into this house, the whole backyard was full of burned out ovens and microwaves and we're talking about electric appliances, but you could see the scorch marks where the flames had come out of the knobs. Yeah, they actually started fires when they fought, this family. And they'd melt things. The tension would get so high in the house that you could start feeling almost like that static electricity when things start arcing. And that was the first time we ran into these three non-human entities. There was three in this house. And but we were there to try to help these people. So I think that's why we weren't hurt. The second time we went in, I was definitely attacked by something. I don't know what it was. It was the first time in my life I've ever had a really negative experience on an investigation. And thankfully, my team is really strong. They're very gifted. They understand what's going on. We have a demonologist. We have all these mediums. We have somebody who was a Jesuit priest. We had all kinds of people involved to try to back whatever was coming at me off of me. But this was also, you know, on the reservation. So there's a lot of energy out here.
See, I'm kind of curious if that was coming from the family or if it was coming from the other beings on the other side. And maybe they were interested in the family because they had some extra type of juice or like ability that it was almost like a steroid for the being on the other side. Like I'm kind of curious where like the flame aspect was coming from.
Yeah, I don't know, but I do know that these people were, they live on two different reservations, half of the year here, half the year in another reservation. And whatever's in this house follows them back and forth. So it could be because it goes to the other reservation with them.
And that's what I was going to say, is that they could have always had these entities around them way back when, before they got put out here doing what they do. So they're messing with the family and they know the family's gifted. So how do you get a little, a little bump in your juice is to piss them off, make them fight. And
I don't know. You know, Kelly, you were brought up something not too long ago about, there's a theory about some of the UFOs coming to areas where like INL, where there's nuclear
massive release of energy.
Energy, right? Well, Soda Springs, where this Indra's Hotel is, the largest user of electricity in the state of Idaho is in Soda Springs. And so, and they have a large amount of UFO sightings right there. So we have INL, which is the Idaho Nuclear Lab, which is only 40 minutes north of us. We have this huge user of electricity just to the east of us. You got all this stuff going on out here. And
not to mention the radioactive dirt that they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention the radioactive streets we have here in Pocatello.
Is that from just like runoff from stuff, or like what exactly is causing that in the area?
The natural, well, so we have natural geologic formations out here that are high in uranium. So
you guys said you guys get a lot of UFOs and stuff. Just, I don't know if you guys necessarily end up taking it in through like your guys' investigating group, but have you guys talked to anybody or heard of anybody from your area having like encounter experiences?
I've seen one. I've talked to a guy that I went to gym with. He saw one out at the old naval, the old naval munitions plant?
Yeah.
Out there on Poline. Saw one out there. If you just like type into Facebook, hey, I saw this UFO, people be like, well, I saw one this time of year, even, what was it? Last year, my sister saw one up on the mountain where she lives. So
yeah, I was on a MUFON website. I was there a couple of days ago, just looking up East Idaho, and I couldn't believe how many sightings there are right here. And those are the ones that are reported, but there's a lot of sightings that are just called into us, or they email me and let me know their sighting, you know, they share it when we're at a public event, they'll come up to our booth and tell us. It's nuts. Yeah. I was an air traffic controller in the Navy. And so it's like, I'm used to this stuff a little bit, but people who aren't maybe in the aviation world and hear a lot of this stuff, it's really, it shakes them up.
Have you guys heard of any abduction experiences in your guys' area?
Not yet.
Missing time, but no, not abduction.
The missing time is a good spot where there might be a possibility of it happening. Because I'm kind of curious if, with your area, considering there is so much stuff that's radioactive or nuclear around it, of course, you know, everybody knows about the draw to UFOs, to those things, whether it's in order to kind of shut them down or destruct them, or if it's possibly because they kind of collect some type of, like, energy or juice out of these things. But, I mean, on the other side, I'm kind of curious if they were investigating people, too, possibly, or if it was just because of there being those particular elements and radiation, nuclear things in the area.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we do have that UFO highway that goes through Oregon, down through Idaho, and then it goes like this and goes out through Wyoming. Oh, there's been a lot of weird stuff, a lot of UFO activity out here.
A lot of people,
especially deep in the mountains too. There's been
The mountains, and then the Arco Desert, which is. I mean, we're considered high desert right here in Pocatello, but if you go a little bit north and west of us, we have the Arco Desert, which is a lot of people have sightings out there, just a ton of sightings out there. It's dark. There's no light. And so if you're going to see something, it's a great place to see it. You're not going to have light pollution out there.
I was going to say big open sky. And if they are trying to lead down anywhere, because who knows if there's holes, caverns, anything like that, you know, you're definitely going to be able to see them flying down to it just because the sky's so open.
Yeah, we have the even the Shoshone ice caves that are out in the middle of the desert. So it can be 120 on the surface, but then you go down below, it's a cave full of ice. And it's pretty fascinating. So who knows what's out there.
And you guys said that you guys get some cryptid encounters too, right? You said you got like Sasquatch and stuff. Like what cryptids and stuff have you guys heard or seen in your area?
A lot of Bigfoot sightings coming up through here from the Wasatch and Uinta. As they cut up through here, they go through the Snake River Basin and then they go up north. They literally just go up north. They go through Yellowstone National Park. Apparently, this is what I heard. And then they hang out there in late summer, and then they move back down. But there's been Bigfoot sightings all over the place here. Wasn't there a case of a dogman, werewolf case out in Rose Hill Cemetery out in Idaho Falls?
In Rose Hill?
Yeah. Back when Idaho Falls was just a brand new town.
It's such a big city now, who knows.
But
I don't know. Lots of Bigfoot though sightings.
What's that that werewolf story? I'd love to hear that one if you guys kind of have like the quick rundown of what happened.
Quick rundown: Idaho Falls was a brand new town. I don't know how they stumbled across it, but a lot of people were getting mutilated. and they were trying to figure out where it was coming from. They somehow went to the local cemetery. They found essentially a werewolf in there. They shot it dead, threw it in a grave, buried it. And they thought, well, that's that. And the next day they went out there and the grave is completely open and it's gone. And then I came across another report, I think it was in the 60s, of a girl hanging out with her two friends. They pull into the cemetery to hang out. She gets out to smoke a cigarette. She's walking down one of the paths, and she gets next to a mausoleum where she can hear something like scarfing meat and breaking bones with its jaws. And she looks in. This is like at dusk or something like that. So she's got a cigarette in one hand. She's smoking. She hears something like breaking bones. She looks up, and on the other side of the mausoleum, she sees a giant wolf-like creature gnawing on, I think it might have been a deer carcass. And she looks at it. It looks at her, and it gives that predatory type of look. And she's like, nope, I'm out of here. And she turned around and ran. And I guess she could hear it coming after her. And she gets to the car and she bangs on the hood. She's like, drive, 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 go, go now. So.
Well, you have to remember too, that we do have wolves here. So could have been a wolf, a real
wolf. Not on two legs.
Well, no, but.
See, that's when I kind of dive into like the werewolf versus like dogman thing. If it's one of those things that for a while when people would have these werewolf encounters or even some Sasquatch encounters, if they would kind of just label it with whatever they're familiar with and just call it a werewolf or call it this or call it that. And now we're able to kind of differentiate because we do have like the folklore built around dogman and people somewhat have an understanding of it, at least like within the community. So I'm kind of curious if even stuff like that, maybe it was potentially just a wolf, but on the other side, they're calling it a werewolf, which for most people, the whole shape-shifting concept just kind of seems a little too far for them. But the whole dogman thing where it doesn't shape-shift, it's just that's what it physically looks like, seems to be a lot more believable for a lot of people. So maybe that could potentially be what she was saying. Like he said, if it was on two legs, or you always have the aspect of fear that somebody's getting chased by a big wolf. You know, your brain kind of just puts certain pieces together, makes the teeth look bigger, make it look like it's walking on two legs. And it was just one of those things that was just a fisherman's tale as it got kind of told down the line.
No, it's not too far-fetched for having one of these big wolves come down through Yellowstone or wherever and just take up residence in a cemetery. If you've never been in a cemetery during the day, they are a deer haven. They love it there. They'll hang out there because they know they're safe. Well, around here anyway, I mean, we got those big mountain lions that are around the area. So my theory is they hide in there because they know the mountain lions are hiding somewhere up in the hills up here.
Yeah. Well, that and the fact that people bring tasty treats.
Oh, yeah.
If you bring a whole bunch of flowers, that's what deer want to eat. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We bring nuts for the squirrels. They love us.
So, yeah, we have had, we've had a number of sightings of things around here. I'm always cautious from my background. Like if people see Sasquatch, that it's not a bear, that it's not, I mean, a bear standing up on its hind legs, trying to get to something in a tree or messing with some, you know, I mean, they're pretty intimidating and they're quite large when they stand up on their hind legs. So, but there are encounters that you just can't. I'll give you one. So a friend of mine I work in the environmental science field. I'm an environmental scientist and she's a hydrogeologist, I think. And so she's, I know her line of work and I know the company she works for, and she's a very analytical mind. I mean, that's, you know, and so she, we have a Scout Mountain, which is the local mountain around here that everybody goes to camp and there's snowmobiling, there's all kinds of stuff here. And it's pretty heavily forested, but it's really heavily used too. So it's just busy all summer. But in the wintertime, it's a Forest Service road, so they gate the road because they're not gonna plow it. And she used to after it started snowing and the gates were closed, she would take her cross-country skis and put them on her back, and then she would snowshoe to the top of the mountain up the road and then ski down it. So it would be an all-day thing for her, right? You snowshoe all the way up, take you several hours to get to the top, and then ski down, and that was her workout. So, and I know this gal, and she's not, well, I call her nerdy, and I've called her nerdy to her face, so this isn't a surprise to her. She's very nerdy. She's a very analytical person. So she told me one day, she's like, Colleen, I got to tell you the story. I can't get this out of my head, and I don't know what this was. I can't explain it. So she's going up. It's late afternoon, and she's hiking to the top of the mountain so she could ski down. And she goes in, and it's a workout. It's steep. And so she's hoofing it up the road and on her snowshoes, and she's going at a pretty good clip. And then she stops because she realizes right next to her tracks are tracks of barefoot tracks, but they're as long as her snowshoes are. And she, well, she's a small gal, but still, snowshoes are what, like three times as long as our feet, you know, and they're wide, but they're barefoot. And she goes, and it took me a second to register what I'm seeing. And then I stop and I'm looking down at these tracks in the snow. And she goes, I turn around and I'm looking down the road and I realize there's no beginning to the track. Like they just appeared in the road. So she goes, I hike over to the edge of the road and she's looking down the cliff. She goes, they didn't come up the cliff because they're right in the middle of the road and there's nothing coming up the cliff. And I look down or look up the side of the mountain. There's nothing that had come down the side. She goes, they're just started. And she goes, so I thought, well, that's interesting. Let me follow them. So she goes about another 40 minutes until she says the hair on my neck started standing up. And I realize something's watching me and I can't figure this out. And the whole time she's right along the side of these prints. And she goes, I realize that I'm not feeling right. Like I'm not alone out here in this environment anymore, right? And she goes, it's not cougar. I've been around cougar and bear my whole life. She goes, I don't know what this is. And she goes, I kept going until I realized the tracks were gone. And I stopped and I looked back down the road and I walked back down to where the tracks ended. And they were ended. They didn't go up. They didn't go down. She goes, they ended as fast as they appeared. And she goes, it actually spooked me so bad. I strapped on my skis and skied out and I've never been back. And this is a lady, excuse me, who did this probably three times a month, who did the same snowshoe ski down for her workout, who's very analytical and very nerdy, and she can't do it anymore. She's like, I can't even go up there anymore.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So at least like from your guys' experiences and like hearing about stuff, and I want to kind of hear both your guys' opinion on this. Do you guys believe kind of more in like the flesh and blood Bigfoot or more of like the interdimensional paranormal kind of Bigfoot?
Both. For me anyway.
Kelly's definitely both. And I have to tell you that I was a complete skeptic.
Oh yeah. Until... yeah.
I'm like,
our first episode exist. Together.
I'm like, it doesn't exist. This is such BS. I'm sorry, Kelly. This doesn't exist.
I'm a scientist. You have to prove it to me. And I'm thinking, well, how the hell am I going to do that?
Right. And then I listened to the Sierra Sounds and I worked the backside of Yosemite one summer and I was by myself a lot on the backside of Yosemite. And I realized I almost got sick to my stomach. I called Kelly and I'm like, oh my God, I heard that all summer and we couldn't place it. I couldn't figure out what I was hearing.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, which ones, the howls or the voices? And she's like, both. And I'm like, oh my God.
I was 18 years old. I worked the backside of Yosemite and I was back there by myself a lot. And I realized as soon as I heard those, and it wasn't until a few months ago that I heard those. And I called him and said, I was almost violently ill because it brought back that fear.
Yep.
The fear that I would have. I've been in the woods my whole life. I worked at the Forest Service. I've done all this stuff. And I'm like, nothing rattles me. I'm used to animals. I can handle myself around them, wildlife. I couldn't figure out what I was hearing. And then I heard those sounds and, oh, I'm like, so I don't, now I'm like totally a believer because I put it all together in my head, but I don't think I think they're interdimensional because there's no way they can come and go the way they can. It's like, how else can this happen?
I mean, some theorize that they might potentially go up in trees, but I don't know where that mountain was, but I feel like that would have, depending how many trees are on the mountain, possibly. But I mean, also too, with your experiences, I mean, how many times could you have possibly been out there hearing those sounds off in the distance and thought you saw a bear moving behind some trees and not even realize it and just, it's a bear, and didn't even think twice about it, but you could have actually had like an eyes-on encounter without even realizing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that for them, if the amount of the sightings that we have are accurate, if people are really telling the truth, there's no way that that amount of wildlife can hide that well. We find evidence, right? We find, you know, you don't find a lot of bear bones in the woods when you're out working in the woods because they get scavenged and other predators. If a bear dies, and they're going to be, you know, other scavengers are going to take apart that carcass.
I mean, but you're finds eventually you're going to. People always question where the bones are. But yeah, the porcupine's going to be even eating the bones.
Yeah, because they're going to get to the marrow, right? So there's, you don't find a lot of skeletons in the wood, but you do find skeletons. I mean, I have run across my share of different carcasses out in the woods because I spent so much time out there. But for something as big as a Bigfoot, if it was a mammal, right, then you should be finding something. I would think you should be finding something, scat, hair, something, jawbone, something.
I mean, at least like for at least their remains, I mean, if these things are somewhat intelligent, and it seems like they do have some sense of intelligence, I mean, a lot of people do theorize that they potentially even bury their dead. So that could be why you never end up finding anything.
Good.
And there's certain areas too that people will go where they say they'll see these like scouts that'll be like keeping an eye on the area, and they'll start tossing rocks and they start getting close to a particular area where there's a bunch of cairns and stuff stacked up. True. So I'm kind of curious if those could potentially be burial areas and these things actually do bury their dead. And you could see hills, mounds all the time in the forest, not think twice about it. You think it's just part of the landscape. Who knows how many, you know, Sasquatch carcasses you could potentially be walking over.
Yeah, we could.
That's an interesting thought, especially around here. There's lots of rocks out here and lots of, I don't know, like little stacks of rocks here and there. If you, of course, you don't know what you're looking for, then you won't see it.
You know, so it's not that easy to bury things. I'm just from, not like I've been burying bodies or anything, but I'm just saying out in the woods, when you go out to the forest, everybody thinks it's this, you know, 10 foot of wonderful loamy soil and it's tree roots and rock and granite. And, you know, the forest usually is not this. There are obviously places back east where I lived and in the south, but it's not usually when you're in a mountain area, it's a very rocky soil and you have a lot of, you know, your conifers growing up through it. And it's not, trying to dig it through that is almost impossible. And so it would be hard.
Yeah, there's another theory that they cannibalize their bodies too.
I was just thinking the same thing, especially if you're something that big and you need to possibly take in that much protein. I mean, these things could potentially just eat their dead right after they pass away.
Oh, God, I hadn't even thought of that. That's creepy, man.
Well, that's, yeah, creepy. I mean, around here, I mean, oh, man. If they're as big as, what, 750, 800-pound female, and then maybe, like, a big male, what, over 1,000 pounds, and they devastate a square mile, I don't know, 10 square mile radius of an area, all that food is gone and they have to move on. And in the summertime, all the animals move out of here and they go to a cooler place. So if they happen to wander back into an area and there's no food, but Johnny's looking a little sick, I'm keeping an eye on him.
I mean, depending on which side of intelligence they're on, if they're on more of like the human side or more on the animalistic side of things, I mean, you see that throughout nature, that things will cannibalize the one that's the weakest or one that's already dying. Yeah. They'll just take advantage of having the meat. So I guess it just depends on if they have that moral ideology like humans do, or if they have the animalistic ideology of food is food.
But not even all humans have that ideology, right? I mean, we have indigenous tribes all over the world that are cannibals.
I mean, you take the most civilized people when you're put in a life or death situation with nothing to eat. I mean, you're going to eat what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Donner Party. What was that?
The Donner Party. Andy? There's the ritual of the sea. There's quite a few stories of that one. Sailors stuck on a ship. Wreck
in the Andes, I think that happened with the soccer team and they had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yep. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if these things are,
do what it takes.
If these creatures are they have like half human, half animal tendencies, and they get hungry. That animal tendency is going to take over. So whatever they'll eat whatever they can get.
Man, I was scared of my pigs. Now I'm really scared.
See, that's where the Sasquatch bones go, too. They just fall into a pig pen because the pigs will eat the bones, too.
Yeah, I got some pigs out there we can throw them to. Yeah, man, that's creepy. I don't know. It makes you wonder. Okay, so I listen to a lot of, I'm a podcaster all day long. I listen to stuff while I'm working. And, you know, you don't go out in the woods alone. And I'm thinking, God, that's my whole life has been working alone in the woods. That's wild to me. Now, as I get older, of course, you know, you think about, okay, I could fall and break a hip. But, you know, back when I was younger, it didn't even occur to me. But nothing ever rattled me until recently when I heard that tape.
I told you it would break your brain.
Yeah, it did. It did.
So I guess kind of leading off with the Sasquatch stuff, which definitely was, I've never heard anybody talk about it in any of the Sasquatch circles about these things possibly cannibalizing each other. So that was a good theory to throw in at the end there. But I always like doing words of wisdom at the end from the guests to the listeners. So whether both of you guys want to do it, just one of you guys, what's something you might want to leave some of the listeners with? Be it if they're other paranormal investigators, if there's somebody who has an experience, kind of just whoever you want to direct it towards.
My words would be to always remain open, because I just learned a very valuable lesson, right? Like, I shut out the whole thought of that, of it being a real thing for all my life. And until just recently. And I think if we close ourselves down, how could we possibly do our clients justice if we're a team? Because they're experiencing stuff that we may go in and not experience the night we go in there, but it doesn't mean it's not happening to them and it's not real to them. And so try to remain open, try to remain focused on what you're doing to help, like with us, with the team, to go in and help our client and not discount somebody else's experience just because you haven't experienced it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't say it enough times. You have to be open-minded, but still rationally skeptical at the same time. And of course, you don't want to be openly skeptical towards the person that had the experience, but you still, within your own mind, you want to take in their full story, being open-minded, and try to rationalize it from there if it's something that is completely unexplainable, or if it's something that could be explained pretty easy depending on what's going on around the house or what's going on in the woods, depending on what you're investigating. So it's always good to stay in the middle, because otherwise every single bump is going to be a ghost. Every single twig break in the woods is going to be a Sasquatch. Like, you just have to think rationally about this kind of stuff if you really want to get somewhere with the research.
Yeah, definitely.
And for anybody that really enjoyed this episode, they maybe live in the area and they want to give you guys a new case to work on, or if people just kind of want to follow all your guys' work that you do in general, where can people come and find you guys on the internet?
Yeah, we're Pocatello Paranormal Research. We have a Facebook presence. We podcast under Speaking of Spirits. We also podcast under Nightmare Road Show. So we're on all of those different platforms, but Pocatello Paranormal Research is our primary way to get a hold of us. And yeah,
we do have a Discord.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Kelly runs that for me because
she doesn't,
I forget we have it.
Yeah. She doesn't Discord.
Mm-mm. So
anybody who wants to go and check out any of your guys' stuff, of course, I will include it all down in the show description. So, guys, make sure you guys send me all your links, including the Discord, if you guys want people to pop into the Discord.
You bet. Thank you for having us on. I really, really enjoyed it.
Of course. I'll definitely have to have you guys on again in the future, especially with people who do these types of cases and stuff. Have you come back on every couple months, and we can talk about some more of the stuff you guys are working on.
Yep, we got some things going.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing about it. So hopefully you already have some new stuff in a couple months, and we can come back around to it.
All right.
And I appreciate you guys making the time to come on tonight, and it's been a good conversation.
Yeah.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. Got a lot on Spotify. Don't have too much on iTunes. So if you guys wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star review with some nice words, hopefully 5 stars, then of course I will read them on the show, give you guys a massive shout out. And any of you guys that are willing to do that kind of stuff, it pushes up the show in the algorithm, makes it so more people are able to see the show, makes it so the community for the show can continue to keep expanding. We'll have some more encounter stories to get brought onto the show. We'll have access to bigger guests guests on the show, but the only way I'll be able to do that organically is with your guys' help. So anything you guys do, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And another great way to help keep promoting the show is you guys can always share it through word of mouth. If you think somebody would enjoy the entire show as a whole, or if you think that somebody would enjoy a particular episode, just share it with them. It can be coworkers, it can be family members, it can be friends, whoever. Just share the shit out of the show with everybody. And for all the sharing that you guys do, again, I greatly appreciate you guys. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you just simply want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to have me as a guest on your podcast, or if you want to sponsor the show, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is increaseourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones that I'm the most active on. Or you guys can also get a hold of me through the submission forms on the link tree. There's one of them that is for contacting me, and there's another one for submitting an encounter. So make sure you guys use the right one, and those go directly to my email. And I do respond to every single email that I get from you guys. So make sure you guys check your spam and junk folders. Make sure nothing gets missed in the process, because I definitely want to hear from you guys. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.